Hey everybody, welcome to Cross City. We are so glad to have you today. Brent Deffenbacher's getting ready to preach a wonderful message on the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know everything about the Holy Spirit, but there's a little bit that I do know. The Holy Spirit basically is God. It's Jesus Christ. God was in heaven and He wanted to send us His Son, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus is God in the flesh. And then He ascended into heaven, but He didn't want to leave us helpless. He wanted to be with us. He wanted to help us. And so He says that He sent us His helper. That's the Holy Spirit. He's here to strengthen us, to drive us, to coach us, to teach us, to convict us. He is such a helper, and we are so grateful. And Brent's got a wonderful message. I'm so excited to listen to it. I hope you are too. Let's give him a big applause as he comes out to preach. Brent, get out here, man. Woo!
Thanks, Pastor David. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Cross City. Glad that you're here. My name is Brent, one of the pastors. It's always an honor to be able to fill in for our senior pastor, David, who will be back next weekend. I'm pretty thrilled to be able to be continuing this, I think, very important teaching series for our church called Metaphor, where we're really looking at the mission of our church and we're putting it into motion. I had the honor several weeks ago of being able to kind of kick off the prequel to this on a message on Jesus. And we looked at His past and His present and the future role that He has in our life. And what we're looking at during the series are the teachings of Jesus. 2 weeks ago, Pastor David kicked it off by looking at the fact that Jesus referred to Himself as the vine, and He called us the what, church? The branch. And we had the one challenge, and that is to be the branch. And we need to stay connected to Christ. When we get disconnected, we become a stick, and that's not good. So we want to stay connected. We want to be connected to, close to Christ and the vine. Last weekend, David did a great job of looking at this whole analogy, this metaphor of a paralyzed person being brought to Jesus by his friends, and they ripped the roof off the house. Remember that? And really the idea of the message was, is what is Cross City? What are we going to do to continue to remove barriers from people meeting Jesus, hearing about Jesus? And I was just thinking about our church, how really our leadership, David's been doing this for years. I think about the incredible music that we just had. Didn't Trevor and the band do a wonderful job leading us in a time of worship and singing? It was powerful. But also realizing that, you know, for years ago, that wasn't the style of worship of the church. It was a different style. But it's still the same message. And so it was creating a bridge from Christ to the community. I think about several years ago, looking at the church had an opportunity. It could have built a bigger lobby because it knew it needed to create a place and a space for people to gather and to congregate. And David, the leadership, had a decision to make. Are we going to do what's normal, or are we going to think outside the box? And they ripped the roof off of normal, and they began to envision a place called the Frap House. And I need to tell you something. A lot of people didn't think that was a great idea, and they voted with their words and their mouth. And some of those people are now enjoying lattes every Wednesday morning here to the glory of God. But it was one of those ways to rip off the roof and to think outside the box. I think about the student ministries building that's going to be opened up here the weekend after Easter, and how that is another opportunity of how can we create a space and a place, build a bridge to the community, because we don't believe that the next generation is the leaders of tomorrow. We believe they're the leaders of today. And that we're just not a church for the next generation. We're a multi-generational church. And we want to continue to look at how can we remove obstacles and build bridges for the gospel to go forward. Amen, church? How it's going to go forward is going to be through this thing called the Holy Spirit. And I get the honor to be able to talk about the Holy Spirit. Someone made a funny comment between the services. They're like, oh, let me get this straight, Brent. Today you're talking about the Holy Spirit. Last time you talked about Jesus. I'm guessing the next time you're going to talk on God the Father. I'm just going out on the limb, and you can call the series Trinity, and it's available for download or, I'm joking. All right, when I think about the Holy Spirit, it's a funny thing that I have in my mind. It's because I lived in Wichita, Kansas for 3 years, my sophomore, junior, and senior year of high school. And when I was there, I met a guy and he said, hey, have you ever heard of the band called Kansas? And I'm like, no, but they sound terrible. Because I didn't want to be in Kansas. And they're like, oh, no, you need to listen to it. So he gave me a tape of Kansas's greatest hits. And they had a very, very popular song called Dust in the the wind. And it's kind of has a spiritual undertone of the fact that really from scripture we know, Genesis chapter 2 verse 7, that God created Adam from what? Dust. And he breathed, the Spirit of God breathed life into Adam. And scripture also tells us, not only in Genesis, but also in Ecclesiastes, that it is from dust that we came, and it is from dust that we will return. But it is the Holy Spirit, it is the wind that gives that dust life. And that when we are reunited with Christ, our body will no longer be here, but our spirit will be eternally in heaven forever. I think it's Billy Graham that famously said that we can see the effects of the wind, but we don't see the wind. If you think about that, it's true. Here in the Central Valley, at times, we will, especially during certain seasons, when the wind starts to blow and there hasn't been enough rain, we'll see the effects of the wind. Here's a photo of the 41 freeway going south towards Selma. And it was a sandy wind storm. Now, you don't see the wind, but you see the sand of the result of the wind. I enjoy golfing probably a little too much. And one of the things that we like to do is talk about, hey, do you see where the wind is coming? You see the leaves moving. Sometimes you'll say, hey, do you see the flag moving? And what we like to do is we like to blame a bad shot on the wind. It was a great shot, stupid wind, right? And so you'll see people out there not only looking at the flagstick, but they'll be getting blades of grass and throwing the grass into the air and seeing where the wind takes it, or doing the very scientific approach of licking one's finger and finding out where the wind is coming from. Now, actually, there's a more scientific way, being that we can't see the wind, but we can see the effects of the wind, we can feel the wind. One of our local weather forecasters, AJ Fox, is a part of Cross City. He's a Saturday night guy, and he wanted me to remind you that he provides the Valley's most accurate news forecast most evenings. But he talks a lot about the wind, and he'll tell you which way the wind is blowing, where it's coming, where it's going. And every once in a while, you'll see funny videos of weather forecasters out in the elements. Have you seen this one before where a guy, actually AJ, I have a next picture here, shows him actually getting blown over by the, well, that's not AJ, but it should be. But you can see the effects of the wind, that the water connected to the wind makes a flood. And there are many of us that we are impacted by the wind. We feel it. We don't even realize it. For about 130 of us traveling to Israel in a couple of weeks, we're going to experience the wind called turbulence. And if you've ever experienced wind on an airplane in turbulence, you can feel your heart going into your stomach and you become a person of prayer. Amen? You feel the turbulence, you begin to pray. But there's also positives to the wind. If you have ever had the wind behind you, it's called a jet stream, and you get to your location quicker. But if you go against the jet stream, you get there slower. It's the same wind that will cause a leaf to turn over gently, and the same wind that will knock over the tree that leaf came from violently. And so today what we're going to do is we're going to look to Scripture, and we're going to take a look at the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. So if you have your Bibles, I'd love to have you turn with me to the New Testament, to the Gospel of John. And I want you to turn to John chapter 3. And in this conversation, verse 1, we'll start where Jesus is having a spiritual conversation with a man by the name of Nicodemus. He was a spiritual leader of the time. He was a part of the Pharisee group, was a part of the Jewish council. And he had questions about who Jesus was. I think he was genuinely seeking spiritual truth, but I think he was ashamed. I think he was afraid of what other people might think. Maybe some of you feel that way right now, being here or watching online. And it says that Nicodemus came to Jesus at night, which is the very first Nick at night, I guess, right there. And he asked Jesus the question, who are you? I mean, you're obviously a gifted teacher. I've heard, I might have even seen some of the miracles that you have done. Who are you? And Jesus said, for you to know who I am is going to require you being born again. Now, there's a metaphor of being born again, to which Nicodemus says, being born again, I need to enter back into my mother's womb. And Jesus says, no, not a physical rebirth, but a spiritual birth. And that the Spirit will enlighten you. It will give you revelation. And you'll be a part of what Jesus talks about, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. On the top of your notes, John chapter 3, verse 8, this is what Jesus says, and I quote Jesus, "The wind," can you all say the word wind? "Wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." Would you say the word Spirit, please? Spirit. Now, Jesus, just like he did by calling himself the true vine and we're the branches, he makes it crystal clear, friends, that he is the originator of the Spirit, that God is the one whose Spirit blows, and that we have the responsibility of catching that wind. I've got one big idea, so literally I've got one fill in the blank. You could fill this in and check out for the next 20 minutes and you're good, okay? So here it is right here. Write it down. Jesus followers must stay in step with the Spirit of God. Jesus followers must stay in step with the Spirit. Now, use whatever phrase you want. Catch the wind, stay in step with the Spirit, but we need to make sure that we don't fearfully drag behind, and also that we don't impatiently try to jump ahead, but that we stay in step with the Spirit. So what I'm gonna do today is I'm just gonna go ahead and do my best to talk about the who, what, when, where, why, and how that we as Christians can stay in step with the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to know that there's a lot in the Bible about the Holy Spirit. I would love for you on your notes to write down chapters 14 through 16 in the Gospel of John. And if you were to look into there, Jesus speaks and teaches extensively about the Holy Spirit. I encourage you to do some personal study this next week, maybe talk about it in your life group later. But you're gonna see that Jesus in chapters 14, 15, and 16 of John, he prophesies and then he also shares some promises. The prophecy is, as he's saying, is that he is going to be removed from this earth. Physically, he will ascend from earth into heaven. And the promises that he makes is that the Father will send the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the purpose of the Holy Spirit will be to affirm, to reveal, to guide, and to remind believers of the truth. And listen into this, Christian, to give you counsel and to care for you, even and especially when you are weak, that you could be strong in him. So there are some questions that a lot of us have. We're all in this room coming from a variety of different faith perspectives. What I wanted to do is I just wanted to spend a couple of moments and look at who is the Holy Spirit by looking at Scripture. And some of you might be thinking to yourself, why are we talking about this? Well, for a topic that shows up over 800 times in the Scriptures, I think we should probably look into it. Would you agree with me on that? But also, for many of us, we have questions about that. And we have some concerns. We've had some weird experiences. And so what I want to do is I kind of want to unpack some of those and debunk some of those myths. So with your finger still there in the Gospel of John, I want you now to flip in your Bibles to the table of contents and then go one to the right to the first chapter in the book of Genesis. In Genesis chapter 1, it goes a little bit like, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." But verse 2, Scripture tells us this. "Now the earth was formless, it was empty, there was darkness all over the surface and the deep, and the," what of God, everyone? "The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." Just a cursory read of the very first chapter in the Bible tells us that the Spirit of God was present during creation. Now, if you don't know this about me, I'm big into words. I love to write, and I think words are powerful. I think they can hurt and they can heal. And so what I wanna do is I wanna share some words with you that have, I believe, tremendous amount of meaning for understanding what the Holy Spirit is and who he is and what our role is with the Holy Spirit. In the Hebrew language, which most of the Old Testament was written in, except for a couple of verses in Daniel, which are written in Aramaic, there's a Hebrew word for spirit, and it is called ruach. Would you say that with me, everyone? Ruach. Now, clear off the loogie from the person's back behind you. But to get it into the Hebrew, it's ruach. And there's the idea of ruach, it's breath, it's wind. It could be an explosion of wind as well. It's the idea in Scripture when it says that the word of God is God-breathed. It's useful for teaching, rebuking, and correcting, and training. This idea of the breath
of God, speaking things that were once dead into life. Now, the Holy Spirit, though the same Spirit, is uniquely different in the Old Testament and the New Testament. In the Old Testament, the Spirit of God would be in a location, maybe on top of a mountain or in a temple, or would show up at a moment, like in battle, where the Spirit of God would embolden the people of Israel and a miracle would happen. But we did not have an omnipresent understanding of the Holy Spirit, meaning always there, but is more situational and in a location or in a moment. The psalmist, King David, has just made a terrible decision, and he's committed adultery with Bathsheba. And in the 51st Psalm, he famously says these words, "Cast me not away from your presence, O God, and what? Take not your Holy Spirit from me." And so there's this idea that there can be a departure from, a separation from the Holy Spirit and people in the Old Testament, but that all changed in the New Testament. Now, the Greek word for Spirit in the New Testament is the word pneuma. Can you say that out loud with me? Pneuma, New Testament, pneuma. It's a current of air, it's a strong breathe, a breath. And in the New Testament, it is different, and there's so much in chapters 14, 15, and 16. What I wanted to do is I just wanted to read a couple of verses and explain to you the biggest difference. In verse 16 of chapter 14, "And I," Jesus saying, "will ask God the Father, and he will give you another," what, church? "Counselor." Now, I'm going to talk about that in a second. "To be with you for how long? Forever. The pneuma," or the Spirit of truth, "you know him, for he lives," what? "With you, and he will be," where, church? "In you." Now, that is very different. Whereas before the Spirit was away, now the Spirit is near and it is within. And it takes on a unique attribute. Jesus uses the Greek word paraclete, parakletos. And that word paraclete means counselor. It means advocate, intercessor, comforter, or helper. Now, you may not know what a paraclete is. It's not a parakeet. It's not a paramedic, though the Holy Spirit does help you in your time of need. But I think the word paralegal is helpful. An attorney has a paralegal that walks with him or her in the understanding of truth. And it's almost like I can hear Jesus saying, "And the Holy Spirit will be walking with you, counseling you, advocating for you. And whereas before, when you were hurting, you were alone, I'm going to help you. When you were hopeless before, I'm going to fill you with hope. Whereas there were promises before and you felt that those promises didn't relate to you, I'm going to sow those promises into your very soul. I'll be your friend. I'll be your mentor. I'll be with you. I am for you." Now, the Bible teaches quite a bit about the Holy Spirit. I don't have a whole lot of time, but what I did want to do is I wanted to help us understand biblically, but also doctrinally, which is, what do we believe about this? And then apply it to our life. How do we live it out? Now, the Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit is a part of the Trinity. Now, though the word Trinity doesn't actually show up in the Bible, it is a helpful phrase that reminds us that God has revealed himself in three persons: God the Father, God the Son, and what, everyone? God the Holy Spirit. And so we're talking here about the third person of the Holy Spirit. Now, for those of us that are Star Wars fans, and I am, it is different than the Force. The Force is a distant being, whereas the Holy Spirit is not only our comforter, not only our counselor, but the Holy Spirit is the proof of our salvation. The Holy Spirit has eternal impact in our life. The Apostle Paul says as much in the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 9, when he says, "You, however, are controlled not by your sinful nature, but by the," what, everyone? "Spirit," the pneuma. "If the pneuma of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit," the pneuma of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. Now, if that doesn't get your attention, I don't know what you're listening to. This sounds to me like it has eternal implications, because it does. So if that's the case, I have to ask the question, then how do I make sure that I have the Holy Spirit in my life? Well, it just so happens, there was a group of people in the early church, and they were in a city called Ephesus. In the very first chapter, Paul writes to them, and this is what he says, having believed, so he's speaking to believers here, everybody, having believed, you were marked in him, you were sealed in him with a promise. And the promise was what, everyone? The Holy Spirit. It's a deposit, it's a guarantee of an inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Friends, we receive the Holy Spirit in our life when we believe. It's a promise, it's a guarantee, it's a deposit. We have been created for eternity, and it is the deposit of our future inheritance of heirs of the kingdom. But unfortunately, many believers never live with that understanding. You know, it was about 6-7 months ago, I had the opportunity to buy a new-to-me truck, and I love my truck. Got rid of my old one, got the new one, and it was just a little bit ago, I was messing around on my truck trying to figure out how to connect my phone to my stereo, and I hit the wrong button, and all of a sudden, XM radio showed up on my truck. I don't know if you guys know about XM radio, but it's beautiful. It is wonderful. It's like always on, 24 hours a day. You can listen to whatever you want to. Talk radio. You can listen to 60s, 70s, 80s, any kind of music that you like. And I kind of looked it up, and I realized that when I bought the car, it was pre-installed with XM radio for a one-year free subscription. And I was very sad about that, because I had missed out on 6 months of free XM radio. And I love XM radio. I'm already saving up for it when it runs out this next year. Why do I share that with you? I share that with you is because for those of you that are followers of Christ, for those of you that are believers, you have been hardwired with the Holy Spirit. But for some of us, at times we will operate in the flesh and not trust the Holy Spirit who is there, who has been hardwired into our souls as a gift, as a seal, as a promise. See, this all happened, and if you would, I'm going to now have you still keep your finger in John, and I want you to now turn to the book of Acts, and Acts chapter 1. So what it is, but when did it happen? Well, what we know is it happened in Acts chapter 1, verse 4. It happened after the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus spent about 40 days with his disciples. He shared meals with them. He ministered to them. He taught them. He did life with them. And on one particular occasion, while eating with him, Jesus gave his disciples a command. He says, I don't want you to leave Jerusalem, but I want you to wait for the gift of the Holy Spirit, which your Father has promised, which you have heard me talk about. By the way, John chapter 14, 15, and 16. For John baptized with water, but in a few days, you will be baptized with what, everybody? The Holy Spirit. That there will be a future Spirit that will come, and listen to verse 8, and you will receive what, church? Power. Say it out loud with me. Power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the very ends of the earth. That word power is the Greek word dunamis, and that means explosion. It's the same root word in Greek as dynamite. And that dynamite has the power, and the implications are huge. I put it there in your notes. But the power, the dunamis of the Holy Spirit fuels us. It guides us. It strengthens us. It's the wind that we must learn to harness in our life. But unfortunately, some never do that. It was a couple of years ago, and Amy and I had purchased a home. And we had a limited amount of money to begin doing some renovations on it. So we focused most of our money on the inside. But there was something in the backyard that needed to be dealt with. And it was a nasty jacuzzi. I mean, a nasty hot tub that when you opened it up, it was like a really bad lab experiment gone awry. We're talking all kinds of nastiness and frogs and stuff like that. So after two or three times of my wife saying, hey, we should really do something about that, I realized she meant that I should do something about that. So I went out there on a particular Saturday, and I had all the best intentions in the world. I went out there with a sledgehammer, and I also went out there with a saw that I use for Christmas to cut down a Christmas tree. And I started to demo this spa, and it didn't go well. And actually, my wife actually has video of me doing this, and I'll be honest, at about 30 minutes in, I started to lose the joy of my salvation. I really did. So she got on the phone, and she called our good friend Adam, and he's a contractor, and he's pretty experienced on demo. And I mean, I saw Chip Gaines do it on, you know, Fixer Upper. How hard could it be, right? It was pretty hard, actually. And so he arrived about an hour into my project, and he kind of laughed, and he said, hey, show me the tools that you're working with. And I showed him the sledgehammer and this rusty saw. And he said, hey, let me introduce you to these new things. They're called power tools, Brent. And he took the power tools out, and he introduced me to this beautiful creation called a sawzall. Oh, beautiful. And we knocked out that project in under an hour. Now, why do I share that with you? Because there are some of us in this world, and we have just gotten used to operating in our flesh. We've gotten used to just trying harder. That we talk about staying in step with the Spirit, we don't understand that because we just work harder, try harder. We depend on our ability and our knowledge, but there is one who has better tools, better knowledge, who has a better plan, and it's the Holy Spirit in our life. And I'm saying is I'm speaking for those of us that are followers of Christ. There is a realm, there is a power, there is a fullness that we can experience that will allow us to witness better. It will pray for us when we don't even know what to pray for. It'll pray for us. It'll be what will root us in Christ. It will allow us to experience the fullness of life that Christ died for us to have. So where did it come from? And how can we have it in our life? Well, we know what happened is Jesus just got done saying is, hey, I don't want you to leave Jerusalem. So an event happens that we are now, even to this day, we're benefiting from. In verse 9 of chapter 1 of the book of Acts, it says that Jesus was taken up into heaven, just like he said that he would, a prophecy fulfilled. And in Acts chapter 2, it says that a week later, and this would have been on the day called Pentecost. Now, that word penta means 5 or 50. And it's where we hear the Pentecostal church. But the word Pentecost actually comes from a Jewish festival that was going to be 50 days after Passover. Now, you might be thinking to yourself today, what's the significance of that? Well, because every week at Cross City, we celebrate the Lord's Supper. Did you know that the Lord's Supper happened on Passover? So Passover is what we now realize that what Christ has done on the cross, he has provided a way for us to not only be, you know, saved here on earth, but also to be secure in heaven. So it is 50 days after on Pentecost, the believers were together. They were sharing a meal similar to communion, the Lord's Supper, Passover meal. But the Pentecost, and they were here together, many believe in the upper room. And suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty, what church? Windstorm. Wait a minute. John chapter 3. Jesus speaking about the Holy Spirit, he referred to it as what, everyone? A wind. He referred to the kingdom of God blowing, the winds and the currents moving the people. In chapter 14 of John, verse 6, it says that this Spirit will not only be with us, but where will it be located, church? It will be located in us. And so the Holy Spirit comes upon these believers. And in verse 8, it says that everybody was filled with the Holy Spirit. What just happened? Well, what just happened is the church was born. And the rest, my friends, is holy history. We're here today because of Pentecost. And every one of you, whether you knew it or not, you're Pentecostal. You are. You got the Holy Spirit in you. So how do we live it out, though? How do we live this out? How do we stay in step with the Spirit. How can we catch the wind? Well, Pastor David, this last week, went out with our film crew, and he filmed a little something that he wanted to share with you today, which begins to help us understand how, as a church, we can live out this metaphor and put it into motion for our mission. If you would, cue the video.
Jesus used the metaphor of wind on numerous occasions to explain the Holy Spirit and our role in the kingdom of God. We don't actually see the wind, but we see the effects of the wind. For example, this sailboat. I mean, I don't know much about boating, but I do know that when a captain raises the sail, it has the power to propel this boat across the waters, but only if there's a breeze, a wind. I want to tell you, Cross City, we are dependent on the winds of God's Spirit to propel us, to guide us, to sustain us, to fulfill our mission, which is to make more and better disciples, and to fulfill our vision, which is to serve others, to serve the world. It is God's heart for the church to reach the world, and He promises to help. He promises to provide as the ultimate spiritually sustainable energy source. We need that so much. And all the places that we will go together. I'm just thankful that we are on this journey as a team, but I wanted to remind you that at Cross City, we're looking for more crew members, not only passengers. We are instilling an all hands on deck approach to ministry, not a sit back and be served attitude. May we never forget that Jesus Christ is the one captain of our lives. He is the provider of our strength, of our spirit, and this world that we live in. It's all His kingdom, and we just want to live for His glory and give Him all the praise that He is so worthy of.
Pretty cool, huh, everyone? Yeah. So catching the wind. I mean, that's the metaphor. How can we continue to make sure that we are staying in step with the Holy Spirit, realizing that we are not the Holy Spirit, only He is the Holy Spirit? Well, that's what I want to try to do right now. I want to give you a snapshot of what the church looked like, and I want you to assess whether or not Cross City is living this out right now. You see, just a couple of verses later, we see the Holy Spirit came down, Pentecost happened, people are filled in the Spirit, and then here's the picture of what they were doing. It says in verse 42 that the early church devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Now, by the way, that's what we're doing right now. Breaking of bread is the Lord's Supper. Prayer, we've prayed. We're learning together. So, yeah, I think we're doing that. Verse 43, everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. You know, every time that a person makes a decision for Christ, every time that we experience life change, people take notice. Verse 44, all the believers were together. They had everything in common. That's what we're doing right now. It's called metaphor. It's making sure that the mission of the church, that we are all stacking hands on being the branch, ripping off the root, staying in step with the Spirit. Every day, it says in verse 45 actually, they sold their property and their possessions to give to everyone who had need. If you've ever given back to God, if you've given Him the first and the best, you've done that. Living out a life of generosity, we'll be talking about. Verse 46, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts. If you're a part of a life group, if you're going to be talking about this message, if you are doing life in community, then you are doing this. In verse 47, and they praise God. That's what we're doing in worship. And they enjoyed the favor of the people, which I sense and feel we have in the community church. And the Lord added to their number. Who added to their number, everyone? The Lord. God added to their number daily those who are being saved. What a beautiful picture of a healthy church. You know, I did a little bit of research this last week, and I wanted to know how many people were baptized at Cross City last year. And I came up with a staggering number. Friends, 344 people were baptized last year at Cross City Christian Church. And when I start thinking about the Lord adding to their number daily, you know that a person almost every day this last year was added to the number. That's good news, friends. So this, what does this look like for believers? What this looks like for believers is for the almost 1,000 of you that have gone through Rooted, that's our discipleship experience at Cross City, there are these things called the rhythms of Rooted. If we want to be serious about staying in step with the Holy Spirit, we need to make sure that we're doing this stuff, that we're daily ourselves reading God's word, that we're praying, and that we're doing life together in community. Those are a part of the rhythms of Rooted. That we're gathering regularly for celebration, and that we're sharing our God story, that we're bringing paralyzed people into proximity with Jesus Christ that can change everything. Next weekend, Pastor David's gonna talk about the rhythm of serving strategically. And then we'll culminate our series by talking about living lives of generosity. But this is what it looks like. These are not the things that we do, but these are the people that we're becoming because the Holy Spirit is not only with us, but is in us. As I prepare to close and as the band comes to lead us in a final song, what I wanted to do is I wanted to remind you a little bit of how people responded to this message. I mean, yeah, we know that Jesus said that he was going to be leaving and the Holy Spirit would be coming. And there would be a day of Pentecost and the Holy Spirit would come and fill the people. But people had questions. And so scripture tells us that one of the disciples, his name was Peter, he gets up in front of a room just like this and he begins to share the gospel. By the way, the gospel is found in John chapter 3, that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that who would ever believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life forever and ever. He shares the gospel message, and we see in verse 37 of Acts chapter 2, when people heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and to the apostles, "What should we do?" And listen to what Peter says. You need to repent. You need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What Peter is saying is there's gonna come a time and a place and a point in every one of our lives where we're gonna have to personally respond to the gospel message that God is for us and that he loves us and that he did something miraculous 2,000 years ago, and that is he paid the penalty of the sins for the world, but that we have to personally respond to it, and that we have to repent, which means we're gonna have to turn from living our own life and we're gonna have to turn to Christ and start living for him. And a beautiful thing happens, and it's not on the installment plan, but when we give our life to Christ and he writes our name in the book of life, we are then given the gift of the Holy Spirit. And our souls are sealed. A deposit is paid. Our inheritance is there as a deposit and as a guarantee. And we don't have to go through life worrying about the security of our salvation because we know Christ already took care of that. But there's some of us that we need to stop doing it on our strength and more than ever trust the strength of God. That the Holy Spirit is there, it's available. It's like XM radio, it's been programmed into your salvation. But you've been using a hammer and a dirty saw trying to do it on your own. And what God is saying is, I want you to trust me, because when you're weak, in my Holy Spirit, you're strong. You're not alone, I'm with you. I've given you everything that you need. You've read the end of the book, you know that we win. So start living with a sense that in Christ, God wants to do abundantly more than you could ever hope or imagine. Guys, we're celebrating a season of our life at a church that I believe is bringing honor to Christ, and great things are happening, but church, I believe even greater things are ahead. And what that's gonna take, it's gonna take all of us being willing to respond and say yes to the leading of the Holy Spirit. I wanna remind you, we're not the Holy Spirit, God's the Holy Spirit, but it takes men and women like me and you to be able to stay in step with the Spirit and to trust the Spirit, not lag behind or rush ahead, but to stay in step with the Spirit. But finally, if there's somebody in here that has not yet responded to that message of salvation, you yourself are uncertain of whether or not you are saved, you, my friend, need to make a spiritual decision today. In just a moment, our pastors and our spiritual leaders are going to make their way down here to the front. And we would love to welcome you into the body of Christ. There are some of you that you need to go public with your faith and be baptized. There are others of you that you need prayer. That as we've been talking, you've begun to realize that there are parts of your life that you have been holding on to. There's decisions that you've made. There's circumstances in your life, and you've been doing it on your own strength. And I'm telling you, today is a day of recommitment for you. Today is a day where the old can become new. What was paralyzed can come to life. And you can start living the life that Christ died for you to live and promised for you to live. And that is under the power of the Holy Spirit. There's nothing better. How many of you want that? Do we want to be a church that is full of the Spirit, everyone? I think someone's clapping over there, and I think someone's clapping over there, and someone's clapping over there. So do you please at this time stand to your feet? Trevor and the band are going to lead us in this final song of commitment. I know some of you are going to be tempted to want to get up and leave. Don't. Holy Spirit, right now, would you do a work in our heart and our life? I think right now for the people in here that love you, that are called by your name, that have known you for years, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would allow more in their life. Would you convict sin, God? Would you empower us to live fully for you, God? And for those that have not yet responded to the salvation that comes through Christ and Christ alone, I pray for now that this would be a time of decision and this would be a time for obedience to the glory of God, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. God, we pray that right now.